Welcome to part one of our decompression session 2026. This is the supporters members edition. Join us next week for part two as we answer the rest of your questions. Enjoy the show. This is Screen Divers. Welcome to our Screen Divers annual decompression session 2026. We post a question to our listeners. Ask us any question. Yeah. So we're recording this episode live in one room together for the first time. Right. Let's just begin by asking a very quintessential question. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm really good. And it's really been nice to hook up with Ricky in the same environment.
He's hooked up with me in the same environment.
There was a lot of...
And I had to watch.
Yeah. I'm in. Umba tried to dry hump me on.
I can't edit this. Anyway, now I would like to introduce this episode by thanking all of our listeners. First of all, you asked very, very thoughtful question. There are a couple of demented ones, but we will make you pay for asking those questions. We will begin by thanking every single one of the supporters of our show. Mm. Now, what do I mean by that? There's a little service called Buy Me a Coffee. And this means that if you buy us a coffee, little by little, we get to keep the lights on. Hence why we're starting with the question asked by our supporters.
And we thank them so much. If you don't know where the link is, there is a link wherever you find this podcast, as well as if you check out our link tree, there's a link there
as well. But what's it called, Ricky?
It's called Buy Me a Coffee.
Holy shit, that's spot on. Now, with the introduction out of the way, there are some ground rules for today's episode. We have been allocated a little board game pawn. Once the episode is released, we will release some photos that will provide you with a little visual aid. Of the, what are these, ailments? What do you want to
know? Well, I did like the term pawns, even though it's...
What did you say?
Pawns.
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 Pawns. Pawns. So I have a little red pawn.
I have a little blue pawn.
And my pawn is always green.
I have a little red die, six-sided die.
And I do have a blue six-sided die also. And surprising enough...
Mine's an algae green.
With that out of the way, we can begin. Why do we have dice? Simply because if the question needs to be answered by all of us, we will roll the dice. Whoever has the highest result will start.
Yeah. And we have some rules about if we draw, but we might not.
So. Yes. Let's begin.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. Oh, I missed, but I got a 5.
And I got a 6. I suspect I'm going to be answering... First,
yes. Do you want to know what it is? So that's the question.
Yeah. Let's go through this.
So the first question was asked by our very loyal fan Nahid Greasley. Thank you, Nahid. The question she is asking is: I am intrigued about what you thought of Men at Work. That's question number one. It's a double-headed question, and in correlation to that, because the Estevez / Sheen brothers are involved in this fucking third. How does an actor real life impact their movies, either previous or after?
It's a good question.
Now answer that, man.
Right. So Nahid, I'm really sorry to say we attempted to actually watch this movie yesterday.
Again.
I remember this movie fondly from when it was released in the cinema. A number of years ago. And I think some of the other guys have got their own times of when they watched this as well, which was sometimes further back, sometimes a little bit shorter. It may have been rewatched recently.
Teenagers, mate.
Yeah.
But I like to think that I had watched it as a teenager as well. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We've covered a lot of both actors.
Dude, did you read the rest of the messages Nahid left?
Yeah.
She went on, she banged on about how this was, she watched it a lot. Like,
yeah.
When was the last time you watched this movie, Nahid?
Yeah.
Don't go. Don't do it. We did it so you don't have to. Don't go back. Keep the memory. Fuck me.
So, yesterday we attempted to watch this movie as a rewatch for you, and we lasted. How long did we watch?
Oh, it was about 50 minutes. It was close to an hour, but it wasn't
80 minutes and 33 seconds.
No, it was closer to an hour.
No, something happened at 80 minutes and 33 seconds because you were like, I told you, 80 minutes. So what the fuck? Oh, that I asked for a rewind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you asked for a rewind at 18 minutes.
And I can't remember what it was, but I think it was someone's name.
That's yeah, okay. And it was on an actor who pumped it up.
Why do you treat me like fucking... Marty, we must go back! I don't understand, like, it's 18 minutes, dude, it's just a rewind. I'm not fucking, you're not going into a fucking DeLorean. You're not going to fuck your mother. I'm not going to ask you to...
Rewind.
Are we editing the show?
No. Rewind and be
Marty,
kind.
Marty!
I think we need an active rewind.
No, we don't.
It was 18 minutes until we got a rewind so we could identify a character.
But it was quite close to an hour.
But it was quite close to an hour. Actively ejected.
All of us. Yeah, all three of us. Yeah. All three of us.
What did we jump into afterwards?
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
That was...
Interesting.
Cliffhanger was Umba's choice.
When we went back to the menu on Prime Video, it was fucking hanging from one arm.
And like, I remember being very expressive of like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what did we think about it? Yeah. Sadly, we left it in the garbage bin.
We may trial it in the future.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not going to be a never. It's more of a wasn't what the film we wanted.
Especially
at the time.
Yeah, I think we answered this question collectively. But there's a second part to the question. So
yeah.
I assume that Nahid asked that question because of Charlie, right? Mainly.
Emilio, yeah.
Who wants to answer this one? We don't know what after.
Well, if you, I can
Emilio.
Answer mine.
What are you talking about?
Estevez. There's two people in there.
Yeah,
that
I know there is, but and how does an actor real life impact? Emilio didn't fucking have a massive meltdown. I'm assuming that it's Charlie.
I assume so too. No. And actually, the actor that came to mind when I read that question was, in terms of actors, is how I feel about Jared Leto now. Flavors all movies for me. And I've got to say, it's the same with like a lot of actors that as soon as we see their name associated with them, we kind of turn off.
Yeah.
And it's not because we haven't tried their movies. But they're just not our thing. So Jared Leto at the moment for me makes me turn off films quite quickly.
Can we suggest that Nahid goes... If you get a chance tonight, if you didn't hear it, go and listen to the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid episode.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about The Age of Cool, and then we all kind of dived into why it's almost impossible to obtain to remain so iconic as an actor, because it was a time in which information didn't spread as fast. So if something surfaced about your personal life, first of all, it was easy to hide. I'm not saying that it was good. Mm. But now you're, you know, two photos away from a scandal and everyone has a camera in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's the question she's asking as well.
Yeah.
So that level of cool with Paul Newman or whatever, if some of those scandals come out posthumously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we were talking about how hard it is to be an actor now because of that and comparing it to the older genres of films. Yeah.
I mean, look at Jared Leto.
Yeah. And then there's a certain type of musician which favors that kind of cult following. Let's just say
which
Jared
one?
Leto.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about? What are you talking about?
He's got a cult.
30 Second to Mars.
They've got that cult thing where they like.
A cult?
Yeah.
What's a cult?
Yeah.
30 Seconds to Mars fan.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, seriously, they have like these retreats.
They got like an emo.
Yeah,
enclaves.
But they go out.
Emo enclave.
They go to private islands.
Yeah.
Next question. Yeah. Thank you for asking that, Nahid. Very insightful. Now, I think it's your turn to read the question.
Yeah.
Let's mark them as we go.
So our next question is from Sir Dave.
Mm-hmm. Sir Dave who?
That's David Joshua Smith.
Oh, Sir David Joshua Smith.
So he's actually stated, any off-limit films, or films that Umba, Ricky, or Steve have vetoed so hard that the episode was next?
I don't think I need to roll for this.
I think
you guys have to answer this question because you know exactly what this is.
Well, I think we've got another question similar down later on, but
this one's different.
Yeah, so this one. No.
Well, this is something that wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
Now answer the question.
What wasn't recorded? Okay, so there's been a couple of times where we've started on a venture with a film. And yeah, we just
we tried.
So there was a film, and I cannot remember the film for the life of me. But I remember that I had to swap two films in a week
because I held off for it. I didn't watch that movie out of spite. It's a display of friendship.
Right. Okay. I know exactly.
I've got another movie with another friend. It's been 5 years, and that's High Life. The more he asks me to watch the movie, the more I will deny myself the pleasure to watch the movie. However, in this instance, after 3 years, I cracked.
He did crack.
What is the movie in question?
That was Bullet Train.
You motherfucker.
There we go. So that got nixed very, very quickly after recording.
Because we actually watched.
No, we didn't record it.
We watched it. And then I pulled out.
Yeah, you pulled out.
Hard.
Yeah.
You did a full pull. Pull out of that one.
It hurt.
Yeah.
So I think Sir Dave has been answered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. There have been some other films which have been nixed or at least put back on back burners. But yeah. But this one. This was a hard pull out.
Yeah.
By Uber.
So, Jessica Sperling, thank you so much for your array of questions. We've got.
And she's another supporter of the
show. And also.
Just like Sir Dave.
Has been engaging with us quite a lot and leaving us comments. And some of these questions that she has written down, we have actually answered in multiple different shows. It's really hard to go through all of them. So in terms of which episodes...
She's asked a lot of questions, man.
Yeah, and in terms of which episodes we actually did these. But, for example, how do you all know each other?
Do you want to answer the first one? And I'll answer the second one?
Okay. So how do you all know each other? Umbar's the mutual friend. So Umbar knows both myself and Steve separately, and that's how we have conjoined our minds around films because we've all got very similar tastes in basically exploring cinema.
I brought you together, you fuckers.
Yeah, that's what you did. Next question.
Whose idea was it to invite listeners on?
Well, go on.
I think that was my idea.
That was your idea.
I thought that, first of all, this is a new path for us. We've all been exposed to some kind of performance throughout our lives. I used to front a band years ago. Steve is an active musician still. He's in several bands and tours regularly. And you, Ricky.
I love, he's. I'm trying to see if he knows any of the talents.
A stage thespian.
Yeah.
And also we've all had some kind of background with filmmaking as well, at an amateur level, but we all did. And that's where, you know, this passion gets fueled. Mm. Some of the fuel comes from that as well. But it was my idea, and the idea purely came from the fact that I had a thought, and the thought was, I think having someone that we had some kind of kinship, remote kinship with on the show, would create a challenge for us to see if we could host and make someone comfortable, and also to prove that we were right about that sense of kinship. And guess what? We haven't been wrong but once. But that's another story,
that's another
and nobody
question.
Asked that question. So,
right. Number three.
Will your significant others do a show?
No.
I know from Mary's standpoint, she's much more into the murder podcasts than
they support what we do.
Yeah,
all
they,
of them.
They take care of a lot of behind the scenes stuff for us.
Yeah. Saints, and fucking saints.
Yeah, I mean, they give us the time to do this.
Yeah,
they give us the time.
Yeah, they give us the time.
You're right.
To
I don't want to act like
you got it.
Thank you. Yeah. Ladies.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to us as well on the odd occasion.
Of course.
It's the truth.
All right, so the next one. What's the motivation to dedicate this time on the podcast? I think Umbar was getting close to it, but basically Umbar's theory around this podcast, if nothing else, we all get to watch a film per week.
Yes.
And we are getting to the age where that demand or that want sometimes isn't ever present within our lives, but the fact that all three of us are holding each other accountable of watching at least one film, whether we like it, whether we don't, but we've watched a film in a week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to add to that. I think you said, you know, we're getting to the age, but we also live in an age in which entertainment seems to be bite-sized, more and more, dopamine. People have forgotten how to just keep their attention span going for 90 minutes, 2 hours. So I think it's good training. And also, it's a reminder. It's a weekly reminder that we love this medium. I don't want to forget ever. And also, we're adults, are we?
I hope so.
Tell me of an instance in which, you know, you can replicate that cornering somebody at a party. Unless you found some kinship with somebody and they're joining the conversation and talk fervently with passion about a movie for 90 minutes. So that's what this is.
Yeah.
Hysteria! Madness.
Umba.
Yes.
The amount of times that we've watched a movie here prior to this podcast and said that we've talked for hours afterwards about the movie.
Yeah.
And then we were discussing it saying, we should just do one.
We did in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's what the idea came from.
Yeah.
Did someone ask that question, by the way?
No. This one.
Yeah, it's kind of all in.
Where it came from.
But anyway.
Part and parcel of it.
So you've got to read the next one.
What's each of your... Oh, my God. Come on, mate. Jess. You're doing so well. What's each of your all-time favorite movies, particularly one that has stayed with you since... Okay, I can answer... Look, can we answer the second part, you think?
Yeah, I think if we focus on the second part.
I said, people don't ask, like, top 10s that... George Crowe, you're coming.
George Crowe.
But anyway, it was an off-limit question because it's an impossible question to answer. But the second part of your question... Jess, I think it's very thoughtful. And it is particularly a movie that has stayed with you since childhood that has made an impact, but still watch now. I can answer half of that question, the impact part.
Yeah.
And I can answer both because if it's on, I'll watch it. And strangely enough, something that you would watch that, because she's saying particularly one that stayed with you since childhood. Mm. So usually this is a scarring experience.
Yeah.
It's something that's like some kind of trauma, usually. Yeah. And with me, I think I answered it. Somebody else asked that question on social media in the Friends of World Weekly. Great group, by the way. You should support that show as well. If you support our weekly, you get access to this private secret cabal of people that love horror. And there they asked the question and I answered it just yesterday. I'm going to answer it the same way now.
Okay.
Terrible, terrible, dreadful parenting, early 80s parenting, because they left me in front of a screen and what was playing was Brian De Palma's Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah.
And I was 6 years old.
Yes.
Nice.
And it left a memory burn. Mm. And that is why I wear black and I'm fucking deranged.
Roll on thunder, shine on lightning. The days are long and the nights are frightening. Nothing matters anyway, and that's the hell of it. Winter comes and the winds blow colder. Will some grow wiser? You just grew older. You never listened anyway, and that's the hell of it. good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you and you're better off dead. Goodbye, goodbye. We've all come to say goodbye, 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 goodbye. Born defeated, died in vain. Super destructive, you were hooked on pain. And though your music lingers on, all of us are glad you're gone.
So that's my answer.
Okay, so I've got... There's two movies which have been with me throughout my entire life.
Debbie Does Dallas. And
you wish it was Debbie Does Dallas.
Okay.
There are two movies. King Kong, the original.
George from Oral Weed. Yeah. I fucking love this.
When did
you watch that?
I had it on video cassette from when I was like six.
Yeah, but it was in your tape. It was in the house because somebody else.
Yeah, this is a particular one that has stayed with you since.
But now I'm curious. You said that you had the tape, right?
Yeah.
And you were quite young.
I was quite young.
So the tape was in the house.
Yeah, it was in our house.
Was it your dad's tape?
No, it was recorded from TV. ITV. And I played that tape to death.
But you recorded it as well?
I recorded it.
How old were you?
I was about six.
6 years old, you could fucking do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, prodigy. It's a dream battery, man.
I kid you not.
It's prodigy kind of shit, right?
No.
Somebody needs to learn how to use the VCR.
Yeah, so,
the child that you were, Steve.
I've always been good with machines. You adopt early technologies when you're young anyway.
6 years old, mate. You're taping stuff from TV at six. Yeah,
And so, I got King Kong.
That movie has been with me throughout my life.
And the other one?
Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, come on. Okay.
There we go. That's it.
If someone asked you to put a bunch of movies into a hat, like for people to pick from, would you put that movie into it?
I did earlier today.
So there you go. Fuck you, Uber.
Mine would actually be, and you mentioned it about something scarring you, and you mentioned it today, actually, Watership Down. Is it a kind of dream? Watership Down messed me up very young.
Did you go to the cinema with your school to see it?
No.
Oh.
But my dad recorded it off telly thinking it was just a kid's animated movie. But
you were one of the many victims.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't exposed to that until later because that was a thing. Did they screen that on television?
No problems.
Fuck. Because it was animation and people still thought animations for children. Whoa.
We were taken by the school to go see it. As a Christmas treat.
Wow.
Okay, How many kids crying?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Summed up that one. So thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you, Miss Farling. Actually, she may come on the show at some point in 2026.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she also has a contact. I think it's a friend of her uncle. I'm still confused about this one. But it's someone who works in the industry.
Nice.
And allegedly listens to our show. Because I said, if he wants to come on the show, he needs to listen to the show. So now he listens to the show. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's that. Oh, we have a question for Michelle Stang.
Hi, Michelle.
Which, by the way, after we record this, if we don't fucking call her.
Yeah,
we got to give her a call.
Anyway.
Okay.
Question.
So, Miss Michelle Stang, another supporter of the show and an honorary screen diver.
Honorary.
Honorary. Okay. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe? It was some wit. It was a display of humor for her to respond to my fucking meme. Because it was Bender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She responded to the... So that's not so even a question.
So shall we just answer?
No. I mean, we have to call her. What?
Wait, shall we just answer? No, Barry Manilow does not know we raid his wardrobe.
There you go.
There you go.
And I would have dignified that with an answer, by the way. We'll call you. Just remember, we called you Michelle.
But we gave you one.
Yeah.
All right.
Answer, that was. So our next person is Tracy V.
Another supporter. And can I give you a little insight about her?
You can, certainly.
I have met Tracy V just like I've met Michelle Stang, like a modern day pen pal. I met them in the group I mentioned earlier, which is the Friends of Horror Weekly. Oh. Tracy V is the biggest, if I'm not mistaken, she's the biggest Terrifier fan.
Nice.
And if I'm not mistaken, Tracy V is obsessed with Pedro Pascal.
But daddy is a state of mind, you know what I'm saying? I'm your daddy.
At all.
Not so nice.
Can you blame her? No, what the fuck, man?
Well, you're a very nice man.
You're wrong with me, man.
Uh-oh.
Get but the axe.
Actually, I think I responded to that in the wrong order. Like, I don't like Terrifier, so.
Oh, no, I thought, okay. Right. I thought you had problems with Pedro.
Okay.
Hey, Pedro Pascal stars in Terrifier 4. You know, they fucking put him in everything.
So this comes down to the question. Who in the hell has decided the music sound effects for each episode? Specifically, Spanish Flea by Herb Albert, The Dating Game, and The Losing Horn. The Price is Right.
Do you guys want to answer this one?
So I would like to just basically offer this to both Umba and also... to my colleague to my left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to be honest, it'll come up later on as well, but a lot of the work has to be handed over to Umba in terms of his creativity and his ideas. However, on a regular basis, he will call one of us, drop us one of the messages. We give him a call back and we have a little bit of a discussion or two and
during the edit, yeah.
But to be honest, a lot of the times we hear what Umbar's already thinking. And the way Umbar works is that it's a lot of trains of thought that should be inside of his head expelled out onto like a big giant canvas. And we just come and observe and we go, oh, did you think about this? And he said, of course I've thought about this. Umbar comes to us and we kind of have a back and forth. And sometimes it's ideas that we come up with while we're talking. Or it even comes up during the podcast recording. Like we say a phrase and it definitely hits a retro or a meme vibe.
I mean, it's the innate desire that I have to perhaps introduce this into my everyday life, like to just play music.
All the time.
In the background. Back a situation. At work. You know, everywhere. Like it doesn't. I fucking would if it was socially acceptable, but it isn't.
It isn't.
Not yet.
We're working on
top
it.
Of my fucking, yeah. I get implants. But wait a second. There is another thing as well. I like to think as well that whenever some musical choices are made, the moment you guys hear the show, you'll go, you feel the emphasis.
Yeah.
You know, it's there for emphasis, usually for comedic effect, but it's something that I like to think, I think very deeply about what you guys would want in there as well.
Yeah.
It's usually what, that's why we're here doing this together.
I mean,
I heard your edits, and whenever I heard your edits, I'm like,
it comes through, conversation, and it comes through just what's happening in the moment. Because most of the time, we are a little bit like giggling idiots, and we will just say a reference that comes out of our mouth, and it just so happens that all three of us are on the same frequency anyway. So we kind of get it.
And we either start doing the little... whatever, you know.
There's another thing as well, like Tracy, I guess she can, I mean, most of the people that ask these questions are Gen X, you know, or elder Gen X. I think elder millennials and Gen X can relate to our show because it's we record the show for us, so we hope you like it, but
So when we look at some of our lifestyles, our lifestyles may have not been on, I don't know, what you would call as popularity or whatever and whatnot. I don't know. Maybe you were really popular and whatnot. But I know.
So you do.
I know that there was a point in my life that I could stay up watching almost everything on TV. Or I could stay up watching tape after tape after tape after tape. And that was definitely not due to the fact that, you know, that was like, it was the only thing for me at the time.
I think our motivation is different here. Like, I had a demented dream, you know, and I had a desire to express myself creatively. So I, when I left high school and went to film school, I really was delusional. But hey, maybe if I stayed with it, maybe I would have worked in the industry and I possibly wouldn't have made it to, it's one in a million to get to that level, right? But at the same time, I didn't want the dream to die entirely. So I kept feeding it obsessively. But I understand as well, like, obviously this medium was appealing to me because perhaps when I was younger, I spent quite a lot of time in front of the TV, but not as a teenager.
Okay.
As a kid.
As a kid.
Yeah. I was neglected more as a kid than as a teenager. Yes.
So I spent a lot of my time going to movie theaters with friends.
Yeah.
That was my outlet. But for weekends, it would be like buying LPs and going to cinema.
But what age are you talking about? Because we're talking about childhood here and then teenagehood.
So, and this is from like mid-teens, early to late teens.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a social thing.
It was a social thing for us.
Yeah, no, different for all of us, I guess. Yeah, for me, it wasn't social. I was feeding obsession.
Nah.
Well, I was feeding boredom. So was, it'd be something along the lines of from about 3 o'clock getting home, maybe 3:30, and just watching as much as I could before I passed out.
Okay.
And on that note, well, that's we answered it. We answered
it
for sure.
So hence, actually, the point I was making there was that's how we know so many of these references. This is how we know Spanish Flea. And this is how we know The Losing Horn. Because we consumed way too much of it.
Yeah.
All right, this question is from me. Okay, George Crowe. What's your favorite films? Great. Thank you, George. Thank you for that question.
You know what? He fucking came on the show as well. He should be punished for asking this.
He probably, the only reason why he's done this is to basically just piss us off.
Yeah. You take a mortal man and put him in control. I
love you, George.
Who is George Crowe? George Crowe is, Georgie boy, is a supporter of the show. He's also a dear acquaintance of mine. We kind of fell out of touch over the years because, you know, life. Mm. But we reconnected. And I remember when I met him, it was exactly that. We were at a party. I think it was Lee Murphy, something like that.
Yeah.
House party. For our listeners, no background story required on Lee Murphy. But most of the parties, after clubbing, whatever, used to happen there. And he may have been inebriated a little bit. I may have been inebriated. We were the two fucking creeps in the corner talking manically about movies. We were the guys that, you know, got Fiona Apple to stop doing something.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago, and I would have expected better from him. But he also came on the show, did an episode with us as well. So, fucking, we need retribution here. He needs to pay for this one.
Yeah, somehow.
Silly question, silly boy.
All right. Yeah, so do any of us want to answer this?
We've got so many
movies that we love.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that we have to work on top three.
What if we throw one in the bag? And it's not a number one.
Okay.
But it's in our top 100.
Okay.
Top 100.
How about that? Go.
All right.
Alien.
Any of the Critters films.
The King of Comedy.
Great.
So anyone?
Any of the Critters films.
Well, fair enough. And mine is The King of Comedy.
I'm being a bit facetious because that kind of fills in 3 and 5. top 3, top 5.
Or the 5 Cuts of Caligula you have watched lately.
Or maybe Basket Case 1, 2, or 3.
Oh, my God.
Toxic Avengers. I could probably get up to 10 on that one.
Trauma.
And then just Star Wars movies. I could get up to 10 Star Wars movies quite easily.
What's up? We're going
to
punish the fucker. Yeah. You're answering his question.
But we're not really answering his question.
Okay. So next, Jamie Nicole McDaniels. Who is she? She is another supporter of our show. She is also the host of The Exorcist Within, where mental health meets horror cinema. It is a very original idea. A show can be found on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, possibly on YouTube Music as well. She and her partner are lovely people. I have some sciatic nerve issues at the moment because I'm middle-aged as fuck. And her partner took the time to record a video just for me with stretches.
Oh.
Another man, I don't know, across the pond has recorded himself stretching so that I could get better. So thank you both. The questions she's asked. I think there's a lot. So
there's quite a few. Should we just take it one at a time?
Ask me the first one.
So, Umba, how does the division of labor work?
Again, it all comes down to the time that we have. I don't have children, all right? I do have a partner, and, you know, at the moment I'm off work because of what's happening, but I would have to return to work soon. I have more time. However, you guys answer this. Who does most of the work?
Umba.
Umba.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Next question.
Yeah. Oh, well, she does have... Oh, okay, we're on that one. Who decides the episodes? The episodes are... we kind of put movies into a hat, and then we have a... Again, we just have a discussion. We did it this afternoon, and we work out which movie is going to be that week.
Yeah. It's a running joke about what we never discuss, the movie we're actually going to state.
At the end of the episode, never. Yeah. Never.
Sometimes we kind of hint at it, but
we give them the heads up, and it's not it's not because we want flexibility just in case our plans kind of change, but it's because every other movie podcast will say, "Oh, what are we doing next week?" Yeah. No, a little bit of mystery, but then 2 days in or 3 days in, usually we release a promo sign streaming soon, so that you get time to watch a movie, right?
Yeah.
So
And that's why the social media engagement, which again Umba does pretty much all of it, is to get you guys ready for the next film we're going to watch. So it's more of a... So we don't have what happened last week in terms of us having to be like, okay, we're going to put a pause in our podcast right now.
That's
for
a
those...
spoilable movie. That was
yeah,
a spoilable
exactly.
movie. Yeah.
But we do a lot of movies that have mystery or have some sort of spoilers around them anyway.
But I like to think that we build the episodes like companion pieces, right?
Yeah.
If it's a spoilable movie, we will never ruin your experience.
Yeah.
However, I have the firm belief that that's what we're trying to achieve here as well. Mm. And you know why? Because it's difficult. And George from Our Weekly did that for me. The guys from In This Episode, Everybody Dies. I remember riding my motorcycle past the speed limit, to get home. I was listening to them with awareness mode on my headphones in my helmet. But I would hear an episode, and all of a sudden, I was going a little faster. Because if it was a movie I didn't watch, their conversation would fucking spur me to go watch the movie.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing you can do. You inspired me to either revisit something or to watch it for the first time, and yet you didn't spoil it. So again, those two podcasts I mentioned, Horror Weekly, In This Episode Everybody Dies, Master of the Crafts, different level, different skills. They bring different skills to the table. But that's, they're inspirations to us as well. And I like to think that our show also works as a companion.
Yeah, exactly. And
a slightly more humorous one sometimes, but
We like to think we're funny.
Yeah.
So we've done social media content, edits, Umba mainly. I've taken on a few episodes. Yeah, you've got to do some edits this year, right?
Yeah, I've got to do some edits this year.
All right, cool. So, and then in terms of finances, well, we just...
We don't...
It cost us fucking money to record this thing, man.
Yeah.
But so, at the same time, is that a fair question to ask us?
No,
anyway.
We pay for Riverside FM. Yep. There are tiers for the software that we use. We learned how to use it. It's getting better as well. We're comfortable with it. So it's one of the platforms that we use, and it costs money.
Yeah.
So that's the cost of that.
And when I edit, I I use an Adobe. I use Adobe Audition, which I've paid it.
There you go. And then the other thing as well is we pay for RSS.com, which, you know, it's another casting platform that helps us broadcast to
as far as possible.
Yes, as far as possible. And then obviously there's the cost of improving our gear. I mean, we just spent a little bit to get this set up. We put a photo down. It's fantastic. We wouldn't use it for anything other than this when we have a guest in the same room. Yeah. But it's also good if we decide to do something on the road, if we go to a festival. Because as you can see from the photo that we will post, these are just stands for basically wireless microphones. And the quality, listen to this. Well, this costs money. So your support can help us keep the show going and improving every day. Well, every week.
And our final question was, what's your favorite scary movie?
Which is just...
Is this a fucking Scream ad? Is that
that's
Jamie,
a Scream.
Jamie, I just told people you were cool, man.
Okay.
go on. You can...
Oh, I'll tell you one. Enron, the smartest people in the room. That scares the credunkers out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It gets me all riled up and all like anti-capitalist. So
that's understandable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of our favorites? You want to answer?
One of my more recent.
It's not to be recent. Like,
No. I'm saying one of the more recent.
Still gives you shivers.
It follows.
Is a good
one. Mm. Yeah. I love it. I can't wait for the next one.
I know the answer to this one, and it's not. And it's important to actually explain why. Because I had a conversation with George, I went on for an hour on the phone, George from Our Weekly, about it, and he completely understands. Because I think he posed that question on the podcast, like, what is the impact of a movie like The Exorcist today? I think that's the impact of a movie like The Exorcist is completely based on your doctrine or whatever you were fed or spoon-fed when you were a child. And when I say this, I'm agnostic now. So, you know, just as Michael Stipe predicted, that's me in the corner, that's me in the spot. Agnostic,
yes,
but the imprint of believing in perhaps the existence of something greater than me remains with you, and so does that kind of archaic archetypal idea of good versus evil and God and the devil. And there are a couple of sequences in The Exorcist that when I see them to this day, they'll give me a shiver.
Nice.
I understand that. I too come from a religious background, a Catholic schoolboy.
I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
The sinful lifestyle you lead.
I love my sinful lifestyle. Try it. You might like it.
So you think you were born in the shadows.
So, to answer your question, Jamie, I believe it's Babe, Pig in the City. Right. So, Jeff Walker. How do we know Jeff?
Jeff Walker is a friend of this channel. He's also been on the channel and he's got some insightful bits and pieces.
He's a super interesting character, man.
Really interesting.
He's the most ginger, coolest person I know.
And we get a little insight into his life every episode we have him.
Great.
He's awesome. We want you back. You back, Jeff. You know that I've got a back and forth with him?
Yes.
But he doesn't.
No.
I'll put one on this episode in the comments so that people get a visual aid. We promised visual aids. For the past month and a half, we've been exchanging. I have proof. Every second day or every day, we exchange a meme, and it's a Sarah Connor. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Don't worry. We'll involve you. Ask the question.
Okay. What should the role of AI be in filmmaking?
I think we need to roll for
this. Yeah, we need a roll for that.
Thank you for fucking being a bummer, Jeff. Dude.
Oh, I don't have
make us angry.
Somebody's gonna answer.
I am gonna put my to piece into this as okay, well. Okay, Jeff.
I stand with Ethan Hawke. I heard an interview with him, as bohemian as he looks these days, but he's, you know, he's in my good books at the moment. And he did say, he used the words, he was being interviewed, he used the words open rebellion.
I am so bored by AI. One of the things I love about the theater is AI can't do it. And I feel I couldn't be less interested in computers and fake things. I like people, I like the way they smell, I like the way they talk, and I like the way they think. I like to think of AI as a plagiarizing mechanism, you know? That's all it is. And I know it's going to change the world, it's screwing everybody up, and I'm not in denial about that, but I'm in open rebellion.
Because they asked him, where do you stand in relation to AI? And he goes, I am in open rebellion with AI, and so am I. I want the machines to hear this. But the reality is that if there is a role for AI, and there is a role for AI, that would be automation. It would be to allow menial, trivial tasks like factory work to be automated so that people and our society can improve, so that you can actually perhaps have creative outlets that are being used and nurtured by governments and institutions like schools, again, instead of just throwing kids into a machine, just another cog. So automation is for that. When it comes down to as a creative outlet, so yeah, just that, automation. I think that's what AI should be applied for, just to improve automation. Mm. You know, it should be an aid to robotics. That's the end of my answer, really, because I'm against it. So I think, yeah.
So there's an interesting situation which is going in at the moment. Mm. We've got people like Disney investing in AI companies. Right. And the reason for this is usually for the aging of people, or right, people where they own the rights of those images. This is what kind of what scares me at the same time. I'm openly an advocate for AI when it's used correctly.
And what is the correct way to use AI?
So, as you stated, where it's automation, and it's doing the menial tasks that we as human beings don't need to do.
Fine. So how does that apply to filmmaking then? Because there's many roles.
But,
you know, look at cast and crew. There's 10,000 aspects of making a movie.
And what we're seeing at the moment is a huge impact in special effects, because they're running a lot of your special effects. We've even seen the last Coca-Cola Christmas ad was all done in AI. So, and I don't know if you've seen that.
So what is the answer here?
I don't like it.
But there you go. So can we unanimously say that we don't think there should be a place for AI in filmmaking?
But I mean, a significant investment.
Maybe encoding, maybe for correction.
Yeah, like, I would say, like, in my opinion, that, you know, the second part of Jeff's question is what limitations, if any, should exist when it's used. So that's part of the question anyway that you guys have both
and
said.
That's what I was trying to answer.
Yeah, which is basically it's all about automation. It's all about processing. But the issue there is who decides.
It should be a tool, right?
Yeah, it should be a tool. Substitute. Exactly. And it should be still have operators who know what they're doing, because if it turns into a little bit of the Instagram machine of all of these filters, pick one, it's the same eight filters all over again.
It's a broader conversation. Yeah. I mean, look, before, like, how many times have we talked about this?
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, getting a picture of an animal that doesn't fucking exist on social media. It's your mom sending it to your grandma. Mm. Right? But that was, 2 years ago, maybe? Mm. Now, just last week, I was finding myself like sending a video of a husky playing with a cat. I sent it to Anna, and the moment I hit send, I took a deeper look. I was like, this behavior is not, there's something off here.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while. I was enraged because I felt like I was being taken for a ride, and I'm Gen X. No, you know what I mean? Like, that's my attitude. Yet again, this is important to me. I feel there's some sort of subterfuge here.
Mm.
You know, I have a rejection for that. But that's my generation, so I'm aware of that.
Mm.
But I won't be here to see what the outcome of this shit, hopefully. But at this rate, it's going fast. Maybe we'll be here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's the dangerous thing of it all. The dangerous thing. Like, I remember, was it you who sent me that whole video of this is not a car show? Yeah. And it was just different.
Like an expo.
Yeah.
It took a while.
Oh, was it you?
You sent it to me, I sent it to him. Yeah. It's like a virus.
Yeah. And it was just, I showed it to so many people and not a single person could tell where exactly it was.
And the less likely you spot it, and the younger you are, the less likely you spot it.
Yeah.
That's...
And
or you pay attention to,
and you know what, when you pay attention to that expo one, it's something like none of the people in the background ever come in frame or ever the focus never enters on that.
Ooh, the one about the animals, the this one in particular, if I remember, I'll send it to you. This person, I like to think it's a person that has built this entire channel, as three dogs
chasing, eating food.
No, but they just said different things. But the one that really gave it away, and also it's the one that I wanted to send to Anne because it was funny, and then it went from funny to whoa, what the fuck? It's one of the dogs, that's like, you know, those mats or that you can put on the ground that cheap, right? But they have a print of some kind that recreates an optical illusion.
Yeah.
So, like a hole, for example. Yeah. They're a thing. Those are a thing, right? So, it's a walkway, it's in the middle of the walkway, and this dog picks up this little chihuahua and tosses him in. Ahead of walking over it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, that's funny, but also dogs are not that facetious.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
They don't do that.
No. They wouldn't do that. That's a human thing to do.
Yeah.
So, and then that's how I went from, fuck. And now, for our listeners, just in case you're even older than us, there's a way if you want confirmation. If you're not sure about a video, click on social media, click on the name of the channel, and then look at the rest of the videos.
Yeah.
After you scan a few, you'll have a more not solid idea that it's not real.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we've just got our final thanks.
Yeah, we barely answered it because, he asked in filmmaking, but basically we stated no.
Just don't. Yeah. I mean, always have an operator. Always have an operator and then I'm happy. You know?
I'm an operator on my pocket calculator.
Calculator.
I'm the operator on my pocket calculator.
Who do we have to thank?
Oh, there are thanks.
Yes. These are people who have also basically been supporters.
You want to do it?
Yeah, well, actually, no.
I'll do it.
Because I couldn't remember his name to begin with.
So, the reason why questions weren't asked by these people, but we, as we stated earlier, it was only fair to give to start with the question asked by our supporters. Again, they keep the lights on. So we went through all of the supporters that asked questions. However, Piotr Lewandowski, Kat Arlene, she is Greek. Mm-hmm. So Efaristo, thank you. Thank you in Greek, right? Efaristo.
I think so.
Efaristo, yeah.
Go with it.
And all the Samoans.
All the Samoans.
There's a lot of people donated or contributed to the show. And
they are someone.
Name.
Yeah.
They are someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtual signalers.
Yeah.
And on that note, this was Roomba.
This was Steve.
And this is Ricky.
pressing down a special key in place, a little melody. By pressing down a special key in place, a little melody.
Oh!
No!
Okay, that's it. This will add it. Quick, drying thing.
At least it's water. How much water are we talking?
It's just water, dude. How much water? A lot?
Oh,
no! Fuck, the mat.
No, I just burped right into the mic.
We're gonna have to edit this part of this. So maybe the bloopers, maybe right. Cut this out and put it right at the end.